This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. Over the years, I've reported about my research documenting the extent to which doctors are deep in the hip pockets of pharmaceutical manufacturers. There is some evidence that these relationships have slightly decreased, thanks in part to new sunshine rules that require that doctors disclose industry relationships. Still, last year, about half of U.S. doctors received some payments from the pharmaceutical and medical device industries. This amounted to about $2.5 billion. Drug companies work hard to circumvent new rules. They still regularly invite our medical trainees to dinners and social events. All of these bribes and gifts have been shown to clearly encourage doctors to prescribe costly brand name drugs that end up costing us all lots of money. Well, now drug companies have moved to physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and pharmacists. A recent study in the International Journal of Pharmacy Practice explored pharmacists' relationships with pharmaceutical companies. Well, pharmacists interact with industry by meeting with sales representatives, receiving industry-prepared informational materials, receiving free items, and attending so-called educational events. In the study, all pharmacists reported interacting with the pharmaceutical company representatives. Most had received free resources or services from the drug industry. In the survey, most pharmacists felt that drug prices were excessive. Pharmacists held negative attitudes toward the most famous of advertising promotions, direct-to-consumer advertising. Well, do we teach anything about industry relationships to our health sciences students? Most schools do not. In part, this is because our academic institutions have these same practice industry conflicts of interest. Our academic training programs need to ensure that students learn to rely on unbiased information sources, and we should teach our students about conflicts of interest and the risks of interacting with industry that drive to influence how we choose and prescribe drugs and devices. Now, in other pharma news, a couple of months ago, Bernie Sanders introduced a forward-thinking bill that would have allowed drugs to be imported from Canada in an attempt to lower drug prices. Many of us have seen lots of promotion opposing this legislation, coming from what seems like patient-oriented groups questioning drug safety. Well, thanks to Kaiser Health News, this supposedly grassroots opposition to Canadian imports was recently outed for being a complete sham. It turns out that the pharmaceutical industry hired and often gave money to most of these so-called consumer organizations, some of which had as few as 1 to 2 members. As Bernie's import movement gains steam, and it should, to lower drug prices, it turns out there is no low level to which pharmaceutical companies won't stoop to sell more drugs and gouge the American public. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. Over the years, I've reported about my research documenting the extent to which doctors are deep in the hip pockets of pharmaceutical manufacturers. There is some evidence that these relationships have slightly decreased, thanks in part to new sunshine rules that require that doctors disclose industry relationships. Still, last year, about half of U.S. doctors received some payments from the pharmaceutical and medical device industries. This amounted to about $2.5 billion. Drug companies work hard to circumvent new rules. They still regularly invite our medical trainees to dinners and social events. All of these bribes and gifts have been shown to clearly encourage doctors to prescribe costly brand name drugs that end up costing us all lots of money. Well, now drug companies have moved to physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and pharmacists. A recent study in the International Journal of Pharmacy Practice explored pharmacists' relationships with pharmaceutical companies. Well, pharmacists interact with industry by meeting with sales representatives, receiving industry-prepared informational materials, receiving free items, and attending so-called educational events. In the study, all pharmacists reported interacting with the pharmaceutical company representatives. Most had received free resources or services from the drug industry. In the survey, most pharmacists felt that drug prices were excessive. Pharmacists held negative attitudes toward the most famous of advertising promotions, direct-to-consumer advertising. Well, do we teach anything about industry relationships to our health sciences students? Most schools do not. In part, this is because our academic institutions have these same practice industry conflicts of interest. Our academic training programs need to ensure that students learn to rely on unbiased information sources, and we should teach our students about conflicts of interest and the risks of interacting with industry that drive to influence how we choose and prescribe drugs and devices. Now, in other pharma news, a couple of months ago, Bernie Sanders introduced a forward-thinking bill that would have allowed drugs to be imported from Canada in an attempt to lower drug prices. Many of us have seen lots of promotion opposing this legislation, coming from what seems like patient-oriented groups questioning drug safety. Well, thanks to Kaiser Health News, this supposedly grassroots opposition to Canadian imports was recently outed for being a complete sham. It turns out that the pharmaceutical industry hired and often gave money to most of these so-called consumer organizations, some of which had as few as 1 to 2 members. As Bernie's import movement gains steam, and it should, to lower drug prices, it turns out there is no low level to which pharmaceutical companies won't stoop to sell more drugs and gouge the American public. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion.